Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. I'm Dr. Judy and you can hear my show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Today I'm joined by a wonderful veterinarian from South Africa, I believe. I hope I have that right. Dr. Megan Kelly graduated as a veterinarian from the University of Pretoria in 2001. In 2005, she completed the Certified Canine Rehabilitation Practitioner course at the University of Tennessee in the USA. In the same year, she completed a course in veterinary acupuncture through the British Veterinary Acupuncture Association. She has been in the field of veterinary rehabilitation for 12 years and is actively involved in educating pet owners and veterinary professionals on treating musculoskeletal conditions, preventing injuries, and improving the quality of life of arthritic pets. In 2014, she started Online Pet Health, an online platform educating and empowering pet owners with the knowledge to help their arthritic pets. She has developed a 12-week online strengthening program for pet owners to conduct with their pets at home, as well as an online massage course. In addition, she has written a number of e-books covering rehabilitation practices for pet owners. I am really honored to have Dr. Kelly with us today, mostly because this really speaks to something that I am really passionate about. As most of you know, I am the Chief Veterinary Medical Officer for Monkey's House Senior Hospice and Sanctuary for Dogs. And, you know, given what we do there, we deal with all senior pets that come with all kinds of mobility issues and arthritis problems that have not been addressed for many years. And so I am thinking that Dr. Kelly is going to give us tons of good information for things that we can do for our pets at home rather than giving up and waiting for immobility to become a bigger problem for our pets. So Dr. Kelly, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Judy. Thanks so much for having me.
So it appears you graduated in 2001, so you're a newbie. but by 2005, you had already completed the rehabilitation course and the acupuncture course. So you seemed fairly early on to be pretty focused on this direction of rehabilitation and, you know, helping the older pets with arthritis. How did that become your passion? How did you get started down that path?
Yeah, it was probably about 2 years into being a vet. So once I'd qualified, I started to just to develop this passion for these older dogs and dogs with arthritis. And I had a few cases where they were prescribed non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications and were seeing side effects. And I must say, I just thought there must be something more we can do. So I started to research and what I could do for these patients. And I remember having a patient called Toby, and he was about 5 or 6 years of age. And I remember, I can clearly remember everything, just the owners bringing him in the door, him vomiting up blood. And he'd only been on anti-inflammatories for about 6 months after showing some mild arthritic symptoms. So he was just struggling to jump up into the car, but he could still go for his walks. And another vet had prescribed these anti-inflammatories, and the owner just was giving the tablets, and he was actually on it every 30 days. So like every 30 days, the owner got a repeat prescription. And we ended up having to treat this dog with drips, and he had gastric ulceration from a side effect of this these medication that he was taking. And that was actually the day that I just decided, this is what I need to do. I need to find a way which way we can help these pets so that they're not needing to have these medications as much and not be suffering from these side effects.
Absolutely. And I love that story because the dog that I grew up with was named Toby. But yeah, you know, my very first patient with nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, when Rimadyl first came out, was my own dog. And I had a Doberman, and it was before I was doing holistic therapies. And so I didn't know any better, and we didn't know about the potential side effects of the drug. And that dog had chronic active hepatitis. His liver enzymes were always elevated. He was absolutely the worst dog to put on non-steroidals. However, the results were amazing. He went from, you know, sleeping like a big lump under the table to running around, being active. And I thought, wow, this stuff is the greatest thing in the world. And then one of my technicians had some sort of a spaniel. I believe it was a Springer Spaniel. And so we put that dog on the same drug a few weeks later, and the dog was dead within 2 weeks. And that was a wake-up call. And, you know, when it hits that close to home, and I was also working in emergency service at the time, and, you know, suddenly I was having these dogs coming in that were flat out and anemic, and they were basically bleeding out from ruptured ulcers. And I have to say, I had the same response as you. There's got to be a better way, and we have got to avoid this. So that's great. So, you know, so you ended up getting all this training, which is phenomenal. And I looked at the rehabilitation course at University of Tennessee. I think it's a phenomenal course. And, you know, I've just never gotten around to doing it. It's funny, if I go back and look at my website from 20 years ago, on there, you know, I talked about my goal to have this big rehab center, and my problem is I have a very, very tiny clinic, and so I was looking at underwater treadmills and all this equipment, and I was like, I have no place to put that. I have to build a whole new hospital. So it went by the wayside.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. Well, you know what? I have lots of people like you who have rehab centers near me, so I have great people I can refer to at this point. So do you have a rehab center there at your practice? Are you practicing medicine still?
I'm not at the moment. So I'm taking a sabbatical while I've got young kids. So I had a clinic for about 8 years and then had two young kids. And I just found the pressures of treating patients and trying to be able to see all the clients and patients with the two kids a little bit too much. So I've taken a few years off.
Smart
and I'm really
person.
Just concentrating now on just educating pet owners. And just, you know, I think about all the clients that used to come and see me. A lot of them just really, they wanted to do things to help their pets. They just didn't know what to do. So that's really how I'm involved now. So I've got online courses, and I try and do ebooks, and I've got a list of people that subscribe to an arthritis newsletter, and I just try and give them tools to be able to help their pets, so things that they can do to relieve their pain and to improve their mobility.
Which I think is awesome. And, you know, it's interesting because when I talked to Dr. Peter Tobias, who recommended I talk to you, you know, we both had this conversation. He is not really practicing either, and I'm down to only a couple of days a week in the clinic. And, you know, part of that was we kind of looked at what we were doing and said, well, you know, in the clinic, I can help, you know, 10 to 20 patients a day, but by having a broader platform, we can educate so many more people and help so many more animals. And that, you know, as much as we complain about Dr. Google and social media and all the bad things that are associated with it, there is, you know, it is a good platform to be able to educate more pet owners and really touch the lives of more animals. My goal a few years ago was to change the lives of 1 million pets, and after we hit that goal, I'm now moving on to the goal of 10 million. So I think that the online platform is really, really phenomenal and a good way to help more people. So let's talk about some of the things that you recommend. So first of all, I'd like you to educate pet owners to start with what are some of the signs and symptoms that their pet might have pain or arthritis, because I think a lot of people don't even recognize when their pet might be having trouble.
I think you're right. You know, I think that the first step is for them to recognize that their pet is in pain. And you know, a dog, as dogs get older, some pet owners just think that's just part of aging.
Exactly.
But they don't necessarily have to have poor mobility. There are a lot of things we can do to help them. So the first thing that you're going to look out for is any lameness, any stiffness. They get a thing called inactivity stiffness. So when they've been lying down for long periods of time, when they get up, they can be quite stiff, and then they tend to warm up a little bit once they start moving. They just really struggle with exercise. So they just, normally they might be able to go for maybe a 15-minute walk. You might notice that they're starting at sort of 5 minutes, starting to struggle wanting to lie down. Often one that we'll find is that they battle to jump up into the car or jump up onto the bed on the couch if they're allowed to. So these are kind of symptoms. So just also changes in posture. You might notice that your dog sort of sits with his one leg out. And when he gets up, he overuses his front leg, so he doesn't want to use his back leg. So just changing the way that they use their bodies, their body in movements and trying to get around.
Absolutely. You know, I see that so often. And for whatever reason, it's usually, and actually I can explain it from Chinese medicine standpoint, but that's another show. You know, the hind end tends to be affected more often. We do see more hip and stifle problems, cruciate ligament problems. And even if a dog hasn't had a complete tear, maybe a partial tear of the cruciate, so they tend to, normally they carry about 60% of the weight on the front end, but we see a lot of these dogs as they age where they are using the front end a lot more. They've got a lot more. If we looked at a force plate, we'd see that they're carrying more weight on the front end, and they're pulling themselves up, and then when they go to lay down, they just kind of flop very heavily on the floor. So I see that really commonly, and you know, for those of us who are trained to watch the pets when they move, you know, we can see subtle differences, and we just started using something in our clinic that is really cool, and it's thermal imaging. And so we can oh my gosh, this is so cool. So we took a dog and we just stood him in one place for a few minutes, walked the dog off, and then quickly snapped a picture of the four paw prints on the floor. And so the thermal image comes up and it'll show you based on how much heat is on each foot, which one they're not using as well, which one they're bearing the most weight on. Really, really cool imaging. So, you know, there's a lot of really technical ways we can figure it out, but a lot of times you can just watch your dog move and see that, you know, they're having some trouble. And I'd like to point out that this, you know, everything that we're talking about, we keep saying dogs, but this actually goes for cats as well. So cats are just so good at hiding their symptoms. And, you know, the cat who shows their weakness is the one who falls prey to all the predators out there. And as cats age, very commonly we'll take x-rays and say, oh my gosh, look at all the arthritis in this cat, and the cat's not showing any symptoms. So they're better at hiding it, but we do start to notice, you know, lameness and trouble jumping up or jumping down with the kitty cats because they're usually so good at hopping up onto things. So, all right, so once somebody has noticed that their pet is having some trouble, then, you know, what's the first steps they should take?
Yeah, one thing I want to say before we go on is one easy way in which a pet owner can see whether a dog or cat is not bearing weight on their legs is to make them stand. And then what you actually do is use your hand and just pull slightly back on their paw. I don't know if you've ever done that before. And if the leg that they're not putting weight on will move, the other ones will stay where they are. And that's a really good way to detect. Sometimes, you know, if a dog is lame, it's difficult to know which leg it is. And I call it the weight distribution test. You just get them to stand, and then you put pressure on their paw, basically just above the paw, so where the wrist is, and you'll just push backwards. And when they're not bearing weight on that leg, as you push back, their leg will just move. And they'll have extra weight on all the other legs, and you won't get any movement. And so especially those pets are showing a subtle lameness, so they're not actually completely holding their paw up. It's a really good way to detect which leg is actually troubling them.
Nice, simple test. I like that. That's great.
So once they've realized that their dog is in pain, the main thing really we need to do is work out where it is and what exactly is going on. So if your dog, you know, if a pet owner has a dog that is limping, I would recommend that they take them to their vet or to their rehab vet and actually get a clinical examination to work out exactly what is going on, because what we really need to do is make a diagnosis. Because if a dog or cat is limping on a hind leg or a front leg, as you know, there's a number of areas where the pain could be coming from. And for example, in a forelimb lameness, it could be from one of the joints in the forelimb, but it could also be from a neck problem, so like a referred pain, like a neural type of pain that shoots down the leg. So it's not always necessarily joints from that actual area. It could be a referred pain from somewhere else. And we often see this also in hind leg lamenesses, some pain coming from the back. And also sometimes a lameness might appear like it's arthritis, but it could also be neurological. So it could actually just be a neurological weakness that is appearing as a lameness. So it's really important that the pet owner gets a diagnosis exactly what is going on, and then we can treat it appropriately.
That's absolutely true, because here, I don't know, you probably don't have it there, but we have tick-borne diseases like Lyme disease is a huge problem here, and so a lot of times the lameness is associated with some sort of an infection that may need to be treated in order to prevent ongoing joint damage. So first we figured out there's a problem, and then the next thing we've got to go figure out what that is. And it's amazing how many pets I see with front leg lameness where the problem is actually up in the neck, and it is neuropathic pain that's coming down from the nerves in the neck. So it is pretty important to figure out exactly where the problem is so that you make sure that you're treating the right area.
And sometimes we have lameness in two areas. So sometimes we can have a primary lameness that could be caused maybe by hip dysplasia. And because of that, they're shifting their weight onto their front legs. And then we could get a secondary lameness, a compensatory lameness in the forelimb, that we might just pick up the forelimb, and the hind limb we might not see straight away. So sometimes there's more than one thing going on. And that can be a little bit confusing sometimes.
Exactly. All right. Well, those are very good points. Okay, so we've been to the veterinarian. Now, you know, you and I both know they go to the traditional veterinarian, and probably the first thing they're going to get is a prescription of NSAIDs. Well, we'll just put them on an anti-inflammatory for a couple of weeks and see what happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a rehab therapist, what we would do, you know, in South Africa, I must say rehab is really growing as a profession. And there are a lot of vets now that have, if they diagnose arthritis, they will refer that pet to a rehab therapist. And then the rehab therapist will look at a number of different things. So they'll have a look at the pet's weight. They'll ask questions about the pet's environment, have a look at what types of exercise that they're doing, give advice on nutrition, supplements. Then we'll look at natural ways in which to manage pain. So things like acupuncture, look at magnetic therapy. So once we've done all of those, then we would start to look at, you know, if we are not able to manage their pain and discomfort with all of those things, then we would start looking at non-steroidals. And then after that, you know, if the non-steroidals and all those other things we're doing, those aren't working, then we start to look at stronger medications and things like regenerative medicine, and probably as a last resort, maybe some type of surgical intervention. But where we come into play is all the other things, so before the non-steroidals. And we do use non-steroidals, and sometimes when pets are really uncomfortable, we might use them in conjunction initially, and then we'll start to try and decrease the dose. And then try and use them as little as possible, and to reserve them for times when the pet really needs them.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and I tend to find that if they're on them for a very short period of time, we have less side effects. However, you know, my technician's pet being dead within 2 weeks of starting, some dogs are exquisitely sensitive to these medications, and we do need to be pretty darn careful with them. And it's great to hear that rehab medicine is becoming more mainstream, and that people are referring for it more. We have rehab centers very close to our clinic in multiple directions, so it's really nice to be able to work together with those rehab veterinarians who are doing some really phenomenal work. But there are also a lot of rehab therapies that can be done at home for the pets. There's all kinds of supplements, and we'll get into those a little bit later. So is cold laser therapy popular in your area?
Yes, yeah, we use a lot of laser. It's only been quite recent that we've had companies that have been selling lasers here. But we use lasers. We use a lot of magnetic therapy, TENS. I must say that a majority of the psychic and rehab therapists, they probably use their hands more than anything else.
That's awesome.
This type of equipment is quite expensive. Mm-hmm. So maybe the bigger practices will have equipment like that. But the majority of them, I interviewed a few rehab therapists, and I asked them, about three of them, if they said that if they could have one piece of equipment, it would just be their hands. That's all they would choose. They wouldn't choose a laser or magnetic
Good
therapy.
Good choice.
And there's a lot that we can teach pet owners to do with their hands. I used to teach my clients how to do massage, so really mm-hmm. basic massage. Show them how to pick up where their dogs have got muscle tension, where they're painful. I'd show them how to do acupressure. And then they can use their hands also to do certain exercises, so bending and straightening the legs, which you call a range of motion exercise. So there's so much that pet owners can do. And a lot of the time, us as rehab therapists, we'll start with the treatment. But we'll only see the pets maybe once a week or twice a week if we're lucky. And we really rely on the pet owners to do their homework and to do all the exercises and all the treatments in between. And when there are pet owners who are involved like this, I really see such a great outcome. You can see those pets that the owners are involved and they're treating them at home. And they really see great improvements in them.
Absolutely true. That's one of the things pets will come in for chiropractic adjustments, and I'll find these just huge areas of muscle tension. And I have the owners feel them, and then I say, look, your job is to massage this area this many times a day for this long at this pressure, and explain to them how to tell whether the dog is enjoying it or not enjoying it, and that their job is to come back the following week with that area softened and no more tension there. And, I think the pet owners like to be involved, and they like to have that little bit of homework. They like to have it explained, and then they really get it. And when they come back the next week, they're very proud when they can show off the fact that, yeah, it worked, and their pet is feeling better, and we can see the results. Okay, we need to take a break for our sponsors. We'll be back in just a few moments, and we're going to talk about other things that pet owners can do at home to make their arthritic pets more comfortable. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on DreamVision7Radio.com, where you can hear us every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Megan Kelly, and she is a specialist in veterinary rehabilitation and loves to help pet owners with their senior arthritic pets, and maybe I shouldn't say senior because unfortunately we are seeing arthritis problems in pets as young as 4 or 5 years old, and that's pretty sad. And certainly dogs that are born with hip dysplasia, we can see problems really at the age of a few months, and we need to do things to help these pets. So one of the things that pet owners can have a huge impact for their pets is changing the environment and adapting the home environment for these pets. So, Dr. Kelly, can you give us some ideas, things that pet owners could do at home just to make life a little bit better for these kids?
Yeah, you know, I think most modern houses today often have tiles or wooden or laminate floors. And it's great for us because it's easy to clean. But for these dogs with impaired mobility and the arthritic dogs, they're already quite weak. They've got quite a lot of muscle wastage. And when their legs slip to the side like that, it's very difficult for them to walk. And some of the pet owners might notice that if you do have a few rugs, that the dogs will actually walk from rug to rug.
Yep.
And then some other dogs might just be really struggling. They'll just sort of pause, and they won't actually want to walk on the slide, on the tiles or laminate floors. And so things that we can recommend for them is to help them, to prevent them from slipping. Especially if a dog's got very long coats, so they're very, very fluffy, and the hair actually covers their paw pads. So what we find is that dogs, they get their traction from two main areas. So the one is their nails, and the other one is the paw pad. So if the coat is continually fluffy and covering over the paw pad, they tend to slip a lot more. So what you can do is actually just trim all those hairs between the paw pads, and then we just make sure that their nails are trimmed, especially dogs that have got very long nails. When their nails start to grow to the side like that, they struggle to get grip on the floor. And then once you've done that, if they're still slipping, then we start to look at other products that can help. And there are a few great products on the market. There's a thing called toe grips, which are little sort of rubber sort of rings that you push over onto the nail. And then there's a rubber sock called sticky paws, and so that covers the whole paw. I've used actually on my dog. I've got a little 20-year-old Chihuahua cross Minton called Charlie. And he hates his feet being touched, hates it. So to try and get the toe grips on him, to try and get the sticky paws is always a challenge. So we've actually tried this paw friction, and I don't know if you've seen that at all. It's
no,
like a pulverized rubber, and it comes in this whole little kit, and then you put a little bit of glue on. It's like a medical-grade glue on their paw pads, and then you dip their paw pad into this blue rubber, pulverized rubber, and it forms like a little covering over their paw pads. And I must say, it worked amazingly with Charlie.
I'm going to get that for my Charlie. My Charlie.
You also got a Charlie.
I do. He's a Cavalier, and he's 16, and he, I mean, we call him Flounder because those legs just you know, you stand him up and they just, all four legs just go out to the side and he lays there like a flounder. And we've got toe grips on him, and they just, his problem is he's so afraid, and we have no carpet, so he's so afraid that as soon as you stand him up, he just immediately starts to scramble. So he doesn't even engage the toe grips. Toe grips are wonderful. We use them all the time. We have a lot of dogs at Monkey's House that have them on. And I was thinking about the sticky paws, and I haven't tried that yet, but I may try this paw friction. That's awesome.
The only problem with the sticky paws is that it covers the whole paw. So especially in summer, they can get really, their feet can get really hot and sweaty. You can refresh it with talcum powder, but that's the only problem with them that I've found, especially if it's really, really hot. But they do work well. But this paw friction, I think we had to reapply it sort of every 2 weeks with Charlie. And it worked wonderfully. And it really just gives him that traction. And Charlie does the same thing. His legs just start going in every direction. He starts to panic. Whereas the paw friction will just actually catch them. And I was amazed to see that he actually became more confident. So when he's got it on, when it's on and it's fresh, then he has a lot of confidence and he walks so much better. And the problem is that these slippery floors, you know, they can really hurt themselves.
Right.
And then we end up with more problems and more pain, and not actually from the area that they're arthritic. They end up injuring some other area, which predisposes them to becoming arthritic in that area. So it's really important that we minimize any slips and falls in our arthritic pets. But other areas in the house that we could look at are steps. So baby gates are great, just to prevent arthritic dogs from going up and down the stairs. You know, pets always want to follow us. So if you go up the stairs, then they'll go up and down the stairs. And every time they do that, they have a chance of slipping and falling. And it's fine for arthritic pets to go up and down the stairs, but it should be in a controlled fashion. And we don't want them to be doing it continuously because they can hurt themselves. So just blocking off the steps. If they are slippery steps, there's also these sort of strips of like a non-slip sort of strip of material that you can put on. It's sort of like a bit like sandpaper.
Right.
And you can actually stick those on the steps, especially where maybe they get a bit wet and they could be a bit slippery. And then things like dogs that, I mean, I don't know if your dogs do, but my dogs sleep on the bed.
Yes.
So jumping up onto the bed can be difficult. And jumping off, I noticed that's where Charlie usually hurts himself. He just doesn't have the strength to hold himself anymore. So making little stairs or a little ramp that they can get up and on the bed and that they don't hurt themselves. And the same for the car, you know, a ramp to get them in and out of the car, or an appropriate harness that you can actually lift them up. The smaller dogs are obviously easier to lift them in and out of the car, but then when you've got a sort of 35, 40 kg dog, then you're going to need a little bit of help. And there's some great harnesses on the markets with handles on the front and handles in the back where you can actually help them. And I also find these harnesses, they're specifically designed to put weight through the sternum and through the pelvis. And so you're actually able to, if you're strong enough, you can actually lift them up without causing them any harm. And a lot of dogs just, when they've got this harness on, even if you're walking downstairs or on slippery floors, if they know that you can catch them if they're going to fall, it also gives them quite a lot of confidence.
Yeah, we have great success with those. There's a couple of good ones in this country. Roughwear makes a nice one, and Help 'Em Up are two of the ones that I see very commonly. And they make a front-end lift, a back-end lift, and then they have a clip where you can clip the two together so that you can actually have a front and a back handle. Really, really helpful. And let me just say to all those pet owners out there, if you want to, you know, keep your back from being a big problem, you need these handles on these dogs. For years, you know, we'd say, oh, sling a towel under the back end. Well, you know what? You still have to bend over and get that towel. You've got to lift them up enough to get the towel under them. Just let them wear these comfortable harnesses. Make sure they're adjusted appropriately. But it just makes all the difference in the world. I find that we have an old cocker who has some vertigo from having ear problems. And so he stands at the top of the stairs and waits for us. And all he needs is that extra security of us just holding onto his collar. That's all he needs. If we walk down next to him holding onto the collar, it makes all the difference in the world for him. He's 16. He's got arthritis too. But his big problem is he's afraid of the stairs because of his vertigo. So, but, you know, these are great. Yeah, he knows we'll catch him, and,
yeah,
you know, he's done. he's done the slide down the stairs one too many times to know that, yeah, I'll just wait. So it's good when they learn to wait for someone to help them out. All right, what other things do you have for us? These are great suggestions.
One thing I wanted to mention about the towel. The problem with the towel underneath the abdomen is that it compresses the abdomen and usually presses on their bladder. And sometimes they don't have the best bladder control, so it can also make them go to the toilet, so urinate. And the other thing is, what I don't like about the towel or something that goes underneath, sort of basically over the abdomen, I like sort of the weight coming through the pelvis, because what generally happens is their pelvis actually drops, and it causes strain in two areas, so in the front of the towel and in the back of the towel. And it's usually the lumbar sacral area, and say, for example, if you're using an adduction, it usually causes a lot of strain in the middle of the back, and it's usually where we have our problems with discs and things like that. So I really think that the type of harnesses where they have that support through the pelvis is the most balanced, and it's less likely to cause any injuries, because using a towel like that, especially if it's a heavy dog, and if they drop their, if they go off their back legs, let's say they slip, the lumbar sacral area is going to take quite a lot of strain. And a lot of them have some, especially if they've got any hind limb issues, so like hip dysplasia or cruciate problems, they usually have some secondary arthritis in their spine, and the lumbar sacral area is a very common area to see this.
Absolutely. So worth the investment in those harnesses so that we're distributing the weight the way that we should and preventing more injury to the pet. So if you're still using a towel to sling your dog, make the investment. These harnesses are not that much, and it'll make a huge difference in your dog's ability to get going and for your back and, you know, not causing more injury. Good point.
So another thing pet owners can do sometimes, you know, in gardens we can have like split levels and we'll have a few stairs. What I've got pet owners to do is, you know, that like condensed foam. If you actually get like a square of that and then cut it on the diagonal, it sort of makes like a triangle, and you can actually put that on a staircase. So if you've just got two stairs, so on the side, you'll basically put the triangle so it fits in the stairs, and if you put two together on two stairs, it actually makes a little ramp, and you can use some double-sided tape just to stick it down, and the condensed foam actually allows them to grip quite nicely. It's forgiving, and they don't slip on it. And so especially people, even in your house, if you've got a split level where you don't want to make a complete ramp, you can just basically put this condensed foam down. It's very, very easy to do, and clients find it very, very useful.
Nice. Good point. And that's, you know, something that's fairly inexpensive to do, so that's great.
Yeah. So one thing I also wanted to chat about was exercise. And I find a lot of pet owners, they don't really know what they should be doing. So what's actually too much? How much exercise should they be doing with their pets? And often these arthritic pets, there'll be a few pets in the family. So they'll have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old and then a 12-year-old. And the 6-year-old may be showing some signs of arthritis, and the 12-year-old is very arthritic. But then the 2-year-old needs to really be exercised. And they get taken to the same places. And sometimes it's great for the younger dog, and it's, for example, the beach. So thick sand, running in the beach. But it can be really, really difficult for these arthritic pets to walk in thick sand. And what happens is they actually overuse their flexor muscles. So normally, and especially with dogs that have got any hip arthritis or any hind limb issues, they tend to keep their hips in a flexed position. And what happens is when dogs walk in sand, especially if it's thick sand, their feet actually sink into the ground. And then they have to use their hip flexors to get their paws out. And you'll often find dogs that go to the beach and then afterwards they are so sore, even if they walked for just a short period of time. And it's usually those hip flexors that really, really go into spasm. And this really makes them immobile. And when we're treating dogs that have got any hind limb issues, so hips or knees, what we're always trying to do is to regain that extension. So the extension is the ability for them to be able to stretch their leg backwards. So if you actually had to stand and pull a dog's leg back and straighten their leg backwards, that would be extension. And normally dogs with hip and knee problems, they're limited in extension, so they actually struggle. You'll see they keep their hind legs sort of tucked underneath them. And so when they walk in sand, these hip flexors get tight, and then it basically undoes everything that we're trying to do with trying to regain that extension. So I normally suggest pet owners to walk their dogs on firm ground. Tar is fine, but you can also do sort of firm sand. And long grass, thick sand, that can be really difficult for them to walk in. And we just really need to think about sort of obstacles that they have to get to climb over, so rocks and things that we don't want them to slip. And especially if they're very arthritic, very, very steep hills going up and down. If a dog is arthritic in the front, if it has to go down quite a steep hill, that can be quite hectic for them because they're having to put quite a lot of weight into the front leg. So depending on the pet's condition, I'll always give the pet owner just some advice about where I think that they should be walking them. And then when you're looking at length of time, usually most dogs can sort of manage about 10 to 20 minutes depending on their fitness. But usually what I'll say is if your dog starts to struggle, so if you notice that your dog does a walk and towards the end they start to struggle, then try and decrease the amount of time sort of by 3 to 4 minutes and start doing walks where they actually are coping. And what we always want to check is that afterwards they're not sore. So we don't want to walk them and then the very next day we notice that they're sore, then we've done too much. Then we need to decrease again. And just really just being aware of how they are getting up, how they're moving after walks and the very next day, so that we just do the appropriate exercise for them, that we're not causing more problems afterwards.
Exactly. All right, we need to take a break and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining. When it comes to our pets' health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit DAVLife.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. You can hear our show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. So today I'm having a great discussion with Dr. Megan Kelly about things that we can do to help our arthritic pets. And so she was just talking about, you know, appropriate exercise for these pets. And I think it's very important for pet owners to really think about, you know, what their pets can tolerate and what is appropriate. So when we have senior pets, it is very important that they keep moving. I have a 33-year-old horse, and I can say when my horse stands in his stall for a few hours, then he's very stiff, and it takes him a while to really kind of get things moving. When he's out in his 40-acre pasture and he's just kind of wandering around all day, his movement is actually very nice, and you know, you don't notice any lameness issues with him. So the same occurs with our pets. We don't want them to be total couch potatoes, and then, you know, you have a beautiful Saturday afternoon and you decide, hey, we're going to go for a 3-mile walk and head to the park. These guys can't be the weekend warriors. These guys need consistent exercise that doesn't cause more harm. And, you know, I think it's really important to keep that in mind, you know, especially after the winter and we're going into spring and we get that first beautiful spring day and everybody is just chomping at the bit to get outside. And we have to be really careful with these kids that we don't push them too far. Okay, so we've got these dogs that, you know, they've gotten a little sore, or we know that they've got some issues. What are some things that pet owners can do at home to help these guys?
What I really like to teach them is massage. So just really, really basic massage. I teach them how to use heat therapy. So do you know these like a wheat pack, one of those things that you can put in the microwave, mm-hmm. and they heat up, and then you can put a towel over the area that you want to heat up, and then we'll put the heat pack on, always putting your hand underneath just to make sure that it's not too hot for your pet. But by heating up the muscles before, it improves the blood flow. And then once they've warmed it up, they can leave that on sort of for 5-10 minutes. And then I teach them basic massage techniques. And I've actually got an online massage course where I run through all the different types of ways in which we can massage pets, for different techniques. And then also different, if your dog is sort of needs maintenance, or if your dog is an athlete. So all different types of massages that we might do. So basically teaching pet owners how to help those tight spasming areas. Because often what will happen is if a pet has got arthritis and they've got pain in a joint, what happens is they tend to try and protect that area. So for example, if a dog had left hip pain, what they would do is they would shift their weight onto the right front leg and then also take some weight onto the right hind leg. And in doing that, they overuse certain areas of their body. So what they do is the left area on the lower back they will use, and then the right area on the front of on the thorax, so that's the area sort of where the ribs are, and that right front leg will become very tight. So basically on the diagonal, you'd have an area on the front which is really, really tight, and then an area on the back which will be also tight. And these areas, if they carry on being tight and spasming these muscles, what happens is they'll eventually start cutting off the blood flow, and we get things which are called trigger points. And these cause even more pain for the pets. So the tight spasming muscles eventually cause more pain. So they had their pain originally from their arthritic hip, and now they get secondary pain from all the tight and spasming muscles. So we want to try and reduce all the secondary pain that they're getting from all these tight spasming muscles. I also teach pet owners how to do acupressure. I've got an acupressure ebook. And basically, acupressure is a what I do is sort of the Western scientific approach. So you do a Chinese approach, is that right? You do acupuncture
yes.
too, Judy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so my approach is more the Western scientific approach. So basically there are acupuncture points which are throughout the body, and I teach owners how to stimulate those points using their fingers. And usually depending on the case, I'll give them a few points. But in my acupressure ebook, depending on what area there's a problem, I've got a whole lot of points. And one thing that's quite interesting is I had a vet that used to work for me, and she used to do the Eastern approach, so the Chinese approach, and I was the Western approach. And one day we had a look at two dogs, and we decided, okay, we would write down what points we thought we would treat. And interestingly, they were pretty much the same, just give or take one or two points.
Yeah, it's amazing how well it matches up.
It is, yeah, it is. It's just your way of thinking is obviously different. And then the other thing is when you're looking at these pets, when they are shifting their weight onto the other legs, we call that compensating. And what they do is they tend to underuse other areas in their body. So like that left hind leg, if we had a left hip problem, all the muscles start to waste away. And pet owners might notice as their dogs become arthritic and the older they get, and we notice it quite a lot in the hind legs. You'll see sort of around the hip and towards the knee, you start to see the femur a lot more, and you can see there's a little bit of a dip there. So all those muscles start to waste away. And so what I like to do is to give pet owners exercises to help build those muscles, because those muscles are actually really important. We think about muscles, and the first thing we think about is they're for movement. But they have another function, and that's actually joint stability. So they help to stabilize that arthritic joint. And the more unstable the arthritic joint is, the more painful it is. So if we can build those muscles, and we can actually target the muscles that help to stabilize joints, we can decrease their pain. So I have a series of exercises which I give pet owners. And you know, when they're in my clinic, I can actually tailor-make their therapeutic exercise program. But I actually developed this 12-week strengthening program of mine, which is basically 12 weeks of exercises. You don't need any equipment. It's all things that you can use, your hands or things that you've got at home. And I developed it because I had a lot of people that were contacting me in South Africa from areas sort of outside of towns, and there were no rehab therapists, and there were no vets that had any knowledge of therapeutic exercises. So I developed it for these kind of people that had their pets and were wanting to do something. And I've had such amazing results from it, so teaching them how to do massage, how to do acupressure, and how to do the strengthening. But I think it's obviously, if you have a rehab therapist, the best thing is to be able to take your pet to a rehab therapist to have a full clinical and to get a program also that's appropriate for your dog, especially if they've got a number of different conditions.
I think that's true, but I think for a lot of people, you know, taking your pet to rehab, so, you know, I've got old Charlie who, you know, we call Flounder, you know, getting him, because I've thought, okay, you know, if I took this guy and I got him on a treadmill and we got some rehab and we did some stuff for him, it'd be really helpful. But you know what? It's going to take me a good couple of hours out of my day to take him to rehab and have them work with him. And, you know, then there's the expense of going multiple times a week to actually get the work done. And so I love the idea of, you know, and this is the kind of things that I try to give clients to do at home, because I love the idea of being able to continue the program. You know, if they go to rehab, my dad goes to rehab a couple times. Actually, now it's 4 days a week for PT. And, you know, the thing is, when they get it more often, you get a better effect. Once a week, you know, it's sort of like going to the gym once a week for us. If you did nothing the rest of the week and you went once a week, one, you're going to be sore the next day, and two, it's not enough. You're not doing something with enough repetition to actually get the job done. So I love the idea of the at-home program.
Yeah, I think it's important that whatever you're doing must be sustainable. So it must be sustainable for the pet owner and for the pet. I often get pet owners to do exercises when they're waiting for the kettle to boil, when they're waiting for the toaster to pop, and also when they come outside the toilet. Because whenever you go into the toilet, sure enough, you'll open the door and you'll have a pet waiting for you. And then you quickly do a therapeutic exercise.
Good point. Yeah, I usually have 7 lined up.
Yeah, that might take a while. But, you know, if you've got pet owners with families, you know, I used to get the kids involved. And I'd say to the pet owner, you know, these are the exercises you have to do. You give two to each child, one to your husband and two to you. And if everyone does it throughout the day, those exercises, your pet's getting a whole lot of exercises to help strengthen the muscles. I actually developed, which you might like actually, especially if you've got lots of dogs, one called the 7-minute doggy workout. So it's basically 7 exercises which take 7 minutes. And it challenges all the different muscles in the body and also the core. Because that's often a big problem, is our pets' cores are not strong enough. I'll sign you up for the 7-minute doggy workout. And from tomorrow, Judy, you'll be doing 7 minutes on each dog.
Okay, that's great. I'll give my husband half the dogs and we'll be done.
Yeah.
We'll get it done in 25
yeah.
minutes. Perfect. Yeah, because they're all seniors. But, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, I'm thinking about all the Monkey's House dogs, and we have all the volunteers that come and spend time with the dogs, and how great would it be to say, okay, well, good, while you're sitting there with that dog in your lap, you can be doing some, you know, little range of motion, some massage, you know, some things that can be really, really helpful for all of these senior pets. And I'm sure that a lot of it we can transfer over to our kitties. I've got a very arthritic 17-year-old kitty. And, you know, cats may not be quite as happy about massage, but sometimes they're actually real happy about it. So we can institute some of this for them,
really
too.
Some of them really love it. Yeah, I've had some clients that have just loved, their cats have loved it. I had a client who had a very anxious cat. And she actually, because I do workshops around the country, too, and I did a massage workshop and acupressure workshop, and she came for her cat. And she emailed me afterwards, and she just said the cat was a completely different cat. Just so anxious, and the massage just so massage helps in other ways too, not just for the tight muscles, also for anxiety and things like that.
Oh, sure, and circulation. And my sister is a T-Touch practitioner, the Linda Tellington Jones T-Touch, and she teaches clinics with that. And you know, just I think it's a lot of it. First of all, the animals love to be touched, and they love that human interaction, you know, and I think the pet owners really like that interaction. It strengthens the bond, and it makes you feel like you have some power instead of being powerless and just watching your pet struggle and suffer. I think, you know, having that power to be able to do something is so important. So, Megan, we are almost out of time, but where do people go to get this information, to sign up for these programs, the ebooks? Where are we sending folks?
So if they go to onlinepethouse.com, they can actually sign up then and watch a video, sort of like a tutorial, with a whole lot of more information. And once they watch that tutorial, they'll also start getting my arthritis e-newsletter. And from there, in all the emails, they'll be able to get all the information from there.
So that was onlinepethealth.com?
That's right, yeah.
Onlinepethealth.com.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is very cool. I'm so glad that you started doing this work, because this is very important. It's a huge topic. I think there's a lot more arthritic pets than people realize, and I think there are a lot of pets that are suffering that could be that could benefit from all of this work. So, Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for all the work that you've done for putting these programs together. That's onlinepethealth.com. I'm going to scoot on over there after we are done this show, and I'm going to sign up for newsletters, and I'm going to look for some paw friction for my Charlie and see if I can get him walking better. You've been listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. You can hear us every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you, Dr. Kelly, for all the good work that you're
That's
doing.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to dreamvision7radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit drjudymorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.